Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered. 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 Impermeable. Unbothered. Impermeable. Unbothered. I'm the people's champ. Obama. And you don't understand. Melania. Permeable. Unbothered. Sick. Allergic to the con artist. Fake woke. An imposter. Only real ones up in my roster. Like Junior C. That's my
OTEP family. Somebody unmuted me, so I might be the only one on right now.
I was talking.
Oh, here we go.
Saying OTEP, and then forgot that my phone, I had unmuted me on the computer, but didn't unmute me on the phone.
Okay.
Oh, boy, well. All right. How's it going?
We're here. Excellent.
Wonderful.
Supreme, to be exact.
Wonderful.
Working hard.
And who has joined the party? Working hard doing what, sir?
Hello.
Say that again.
Uh-oh. You said you was working hard something.
Oh, no, just trying
to
get things together.
Somebody else
chimed.
Yeah, Candace joined, but my poor Pharaoh.
No, it was your mother that joined.
Oh. Oh, hello, mother.
Hello.
poor Pharaoh, I threw him a cracker, and apparently it went underneath something, so he's trying ferociously to get the cracker.
Wow, something else. Wow.
Candace, I see you, but I don't hear you. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey!
What's up, fam? Happy Tuesday to you.
I can't believe it's Tuesday already. I looked at the time. I was like, oh, crap, I forgot about the call.
Oh, I sent out my nice
I'm
little
here.
Reminder. Like, 7:30. It's 7:30. And I'm not talking about crazy. I'm talking about the time. So, as usual, I have not been watching the news. I just re-downloaded Instagram so that I could post up our nice little link for the people that follow us, but I have not even. So, is there anything that you guys find that have been finding exciting going on in the news lately?
I can't think of anything.
Well, for me,
that's
it's not.
Good, actually.
It's, you know, my thing is not so much that it's interesting. It's just that the more we go on, the more I realize we have to get ourselves together, each and every one of us, not
oh.
just as a people.
Oh, yeah.
because you know, we are now at that point, you know, and I've spent my life studying this type of history or this type of culture. And just what's happened in America. And, you know, when you understand history, when you understand what has happened, you can pretty much begin to gauge how you're going to react to all of this, you know, in terms of your families, in terms of where you are and what's going on. And, you know, we have to look at these things very seriously and come to conclusions about what we want for our future. Everybody does. And if that's what could be interesting, that's what I find. I find that listening to the 1971 hit, if you want to do the album or even the song, by Marvin Gaye, What's Going On? You know, when you think and you listen to that song, the other song, particularly for us, is Inner City Blues, Make Me Wanna Holler. Same album. You know, this is what we're experiencing right now. And imagine if Marvin Gaye had added the events of January 6th, if he had included the COVID virus. Imagine if he had included all the things that we're going through now. Now the real thing is, what's going on? What's going on? Thing is, we know what's going on. That's the other thing that to me is very important. We know what's going on. It's been going on for 400 years. And it's not just about culture. It's about stuck and stupid. These folk are stuck in stupid. And they're willing to let everything go down for no real reason except you no longer are in power. And you don't have the power. And America is not a European country. Never was meant to be. Because if it had meant to be, then it would have been Europeans here instead of indigenous Americans. So that's what I'm starting with. What's going on? And also, the same album, he had a song called Ecology, Change Back Then. Look at what's going on all around the world. Germany, and this has happened since we've last spoken. The floods in Germany, the floods in Belgium, the fires in Oregon, the fires in California, the phenomenal flooding in Japan. Well, it was a mudslide. This is real. Global warming is real. It is happening. We got to get hip to this, and we got to find a way. Otherwise, forget the planet. And by the way, there's no reason why human beings have to remain on Earth. The Earth did very well without us for billions of years.
It probably did better.
Well, the Earth was really preparing itself for us. The reason why the Earth did so many phenomenal things, vegetation, animals, the oxygen from the plants, the Earth literally sculptured itself. Nature sculptured the Earth for our arrival, so that when we came here and went through what we went through, starting in Africa, going through the early human being, coming to higher levels of consciousness, working with nature. Nature was happy with us at one point in time. But then it took a wrong turn.
But did it take a wrong turn on purpose or by accident? Because this all could be a lesson. Maybe it didn't take a wrong turn by accident.
Well, yes and no, you're right. It didn't, because everything happened in nature. But the fact of the matter is, a group of Africans left Africa, left the Garden of Eden, left paradise, and went up and got caught in an ice age. And it transformed these Africans who had one time had been dedicated to nature. When they were in Africa, they didn't act the way they act when they got into Europe. Their environment made them hostile, angry, jealous, envious, murderous. And then they returned back to the South. So for me, I think that it's a lesson well learned, but we just got to get ourselves together, because if we as African-American people are in and African throughout the diaspora, are in a very unique position to save this planet. We are in a unique position to save this planet because nobody has lived in hell the way we have. Nobody wants to be in heaven more than we do for having been in hell for so long. We are in a unique position to lead this country. And to my sisters, y'all are doing your thing. The sisters are doing some powerful work. African-American women. You know, it's interesting when I look at what's going on, because I don't have to tell you this. You all know it. But I am a man. But I have a phenomenal respect for majestic black women, for what they've done, fighting against this. The reason why this is going on, if you want to blame somebody, you could blame black women. Because black women were the ones that put Biden in. Putting Biden in is what made all these stuck and stupid people do what they did. Because black women knew what to do. And please, Biden, you know, politics are politics. I ain't in love with Democrat or Republican. Liberal
right.
is a dirty word to me. None of them have helped us, ever. The only time they've helped us is when it's been in their best interest. The reason why
uh-huh.
they are doing what they're doing is because we put them in. And black women are at the
yep.
at the center of this. We brothers, we did our thing. I'm not trying to take away from brothers. But what I'm saying is that sisters, with their ability to understand what it is to be first mother, taking care of families, educating your children, you have been at the center of forming and shaping every civilization that has ever existed. And even though European men don't want to admit it, if it wasn't for European women, they wouldn't be here.
Mm.
So I'm across the cultural line right here and tell the European man, you are on your way out to extinction, because any time you can turn and curse the womb that brought you into the world, you can disrespect your mother, your sister, your aunt, your daughters. Anytime you can do that, you ain't going nowhere. That's what I find interesting. This conversation that we're having will be so important in 100 years.
Hopefully it's still going on in 100 years. Hopefully
yeah,
we'll still have,
say,
we'll still have it in rotation.
I'm hoping we're still not having these same sort of conversations. Hopefully
right,
there's been some
right.
evolution.
Or no.
Right.
No, we won't. No, because we can't. We're at the end now. When you study history and you see how things have happened, I've said it, I've been talking about this frequently for us to understand something. When the Eurasians came out of the Ice Age, and I'm going to go back maybe 2000 BC, which would be like about, what, 4,000 years ago, give or take a couple hundred maybe, they came back with no form of organization, institutions, or anything. They were barbarians coming up out of the ice mountain. They settled with the indigenous southern melanated people. They just found a 4,000-year-old civilization in Iraq based around the ziggurat or the Sumerian, and it's black.
Wow.
I got the article the other day. 4,000 years old, Africans were in Iraq developing a civilization to which they built a pyramid that's called the ziggurat. Z-I-G-G-U-R-A-T, ziggurat. And so when they came out, and then the Indo-Europeans came down and they started wars, and they've been at wars for a long time. But the point that I want to make is that when you look at the downfall of Africa, when Africa was no longer in power, you're looking at Persians or Iranians, Indo-Europeans, part black, but mostly Indo-European, came down Cambyses, who was their leader, overtook the African kingdom in 525 BC, before the Common Era. Okay, 525. They came in barbarians. They brought nothing into the civilization. They had nothing to offer, except they were able to maintain themselves up until 332 BC, when Alexander the Macedonian, because he wasn't Greek and Greece didn't exist at this time, came down and with Africans' help, they sacked and destroyed the Persian army and civilization. That's a little over 200 years, give or take. 30 BC. And in 30 BC, the Romans defeated the Greeks. So here you're dealing with a civilization, Greek, that lasted for 300 years. And then you had the Romans, And then the Roman Empire was destroyed 400, 500 AD. So you're dealing with the Roman Empire that existed for 400 years. And then Europe went into a dark age. And it wasn't until Africans came in 710 and created a renaissance, a rebirth of Europe.
Mm.
And the first thing they brought in was soap to clean your funky butts. And then they brought in a special liquid that they call alcohol, a spiritual water that would disinfect you after you washed yourself from the diseases that you had. Mm. Today we call that alcohol. So when they got out, 1492 is when Europeans, sitting at the feet of Africans, learned navigation, learned compass, learned geometry, learned geography, and then they traveled around the world, and then they did what they did. 1492, let's look at that date. Until now. Basically, we're dealing with a little of 500 years. The Indo-European, the Eurasians, the Europeans, and the Asians have never maintained a civilization more than about 500 years, give or take. Mm. Everything they ever built fell apart. 1,100 years, give or take.
Wow.
So what I'm saying is that the old kingdom alone in Africa lasted longer than all of the Indo-European civilizations combined. And what I'm telling you is that
it was based on savagery.
It was, and it did not follow a natural order. See, even though, and now let me tell you something, Africans started trouble now. Africans did things that weren't nice. Some of them acted inappropriate, but every African civilization was based on nature. And nature follows a scientific path that when you deviate, the people will rise against you. And there's evidence of people rising up against a civilization or a culture that is not in their best favor. And that's what Africans did. They had their problems, but they were always able to overcome their problems because they were based in a natural spiritual order. I'm not talking about religion. Indo-Europeans have never had a foundation, any of their civilizations, except to enslave the people. That's the one thing they have in common. From the Persians right up until this day, every civilization they've ever had was to come in like a parasite, absorb the knowledge and wisdom of the people that they are oppressing, try to copy it, and then develop a civilization around it. And they only lasted no more than 500 years throughout their entire existence. And that's what I'm trying to tell the family. We got to get ourselves together because this civilization is falling. Because what you're looking at right now, what's happening, this is white-on-white crime here. They're fighting each other. Whether you want to call it Republican and Democrat, or whether you want to call it liberal and conservative, or whatever you want to call it, this ain't about us. We're in the middle of it, because we always are in the middle of everything. But it's not about us. It's about them. They're in trouble. We better get ourselves together. Because just think of what I'm saying. As mad as we may get at what they've done to us, I understand all that. But this civilization is falling. Trade, commerce is falling. Climate change, all of it. We better get here. Solar power is the future wealth of the planet. We need to be focused in on developing solar power and understand what it is. Need to teach the children about the sun and about solar power. Help them understand what it is that, because a civilization is only as great as their energy source. We got to get ourselves together, family. We are a great people. We've done it before. Let's do it again.
We have to want to get it together, but some people are just content with the way that things are. People make believe that they want to fight, but then in real life they don't actually do anything. And that's one of the reasons why we'll never be successful, because it seems like we want to do something, and then when it comes time to actually doing something, we're fighting about the wrong thing, or we're talking about the wrong thing, or you know. So we have to actually, I know what you're about to say.
3 out of 100.
3 out of 100.
Three out of 100. I'm not looking for everybody. Everybody ain't ready for this.
That's true.
People have become very comfortable in enjoying being enslaved.
Yeah. Yep.
So I'm talking to the 3 out of 100. It doesn't take a lot of people to create a civilization. You just got to be committed. You got to take your resources and put them in the right place. You have to understand how to develop a society, how to protect your neighborhood and your community. And when you do that, changes occur. If not, then we'll just be wiped off the planet, and we'll have to start all over again.
I mean,
you know.
I mean, you know. To start all over. I mean, I feel like that damn near was happening with COVID and everything else. Like, starting over. So many people are starting over.
That's it.
Financially, job-wise, jobs are not, like, a lot of us don't even have to go back into offices anymore.
That's
it. So maybe
it.
We are starting over.
In so many ways, we are. In so many ways, we are. And I just think that your generation, you know, that's why it's so important to talk to your generation so that we understand what it is that you all have to do. And solar power is the wealth of the future. And the people who have a good sense of what solar power is, renewable energy, the future is yours. So what you can do right now, get a book on the sun. In fact, you can go to Kindle and you can download Solar Power Demystified for free. I did that. Free. Renewable energy. Study it. Understand it. One of the things that I found to be most troublesome when Jeff Bezos went into space was that he was speaking about making space the place that we bring our garbage. You know, all this garbage, the plastic and everything that we're talking about.
He didn't say that.
Oh, no, he's talking about creating like garbage heaps in space where you empty your garbage in space. That's very dangerous.
Wow, that's crazy.
Because if you were to do that, then you are almost putting, like, weapons of mass destruction in the air. Because if something happened in space and that garbage is impacted by the sun or by an asteroid or by a comet or by just anything, then that stuff is coming back down to Earth worse than it did when it went up. We have to find a new way to deal with renewables. How do you recycle? This is the future. And everything I just said to you, Sasha and Kandike, has nothing whatsoever to do with culture, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with science. So I'm all for knowing Kush and Kemet. But if we're not getting into solar power, it don't make a difference what we know about the past, because humans ain't going to have a future.
That is true. That is true. It's important to know your history, but it's important to also figure out where you want to go. What's the purpose of knowing our history if we're allowing it to happen all over again and then not doing anything about the future?
Yeah. You know, when Africans went into Spain in 710, they brought a hydraulic system. Where they brought the windmills and the water mills into Europe. And they devised a way to derive energy from water and wind.
Mm-hmm.
And when they did this, they used to build their homes in a way that their homes automatically had air conditioning and heat during the winter, the cooler times.
Mm.
They use nature to assist them in developing what we have to create, we being Western civilization, air conditioners or heaters. They didn't have to create air conditioners and heaters. What they did is they understood geology and they understood weather and climate, and they built their bridges and their homes and their communities around a natural order of what would bring cool air in and warm air in. They used nature. They didn't build machines. There's a way to think. You don't have to build a machine for everything. There are ways that nature will help you. And they understood this. And that's how they built it. In fact, air conditioners and heaters are built on the same principle, but they're just machines that do the same thing that nature could do for you for free. You don't have to pay for no gas and electricity.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on, family?
That's a good segue. I was about to play a song.
All right.
And then we can talk about how we doing when we come back.
Sounds
all right.
Good to me.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother,
there's too many of you crying. Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Right.
Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right.
I went straight to it once you started talking about it.
All right.
I went straight to it. Play the song.
That is great. Just something to think about, family. Just something to think about.
It is. It's just sad and beautiful at the same time that all these songs are still relevant now.
That's right. You know, and also let's pay homage to Brother Bob Moses. You know, Brother Bob Moses, I knew him. I attended when I was in the Board of Education, the multicultural department worked with him. Bob Moses developed the Algebra Project. You know, this was a brilliant brother that went down south and attempted to organize black folk. You know, people talk about what John Lewis went through, which was horrific. But Bob Moses went through similar things also, and he was within the same group, and he was 86. He just passed away the other day. But this brother went down south, but then he returned back, went to Harvard, got his work done, and began to teach math to African-American youth, and he developed something called the Algebra Project. And in the late 80s and early 90s, they brought him to do a series of workshops, and they invited me to participate. And this brother was magnificent. Comes to mathematics and its application. So I just want to give a shout-out to Bob Moses, who's now an ancestor, who did phenomenal work. And I have a lot of respect because there's an aspect of algebra I came to understand through his teaching. That, wow, that brother was good. You know, I encourage people, Google Algebra Project. He's on YouTube. He's done a number of interviews. But he's somebody that we ought to look at because when we understand algebra and we understand calculus, and I know they done turned us off of these subjects. But just fascinated. I am fascinated with math and science. I wish I knew when I was younger. I wish I knew math and science the way I know it now and its application in my life.
Isn't that the same for everything? Isn't that accurate for everything? That's accurate for everything. If I knew then what I know now, that's why that's the
same. Oh, my goodness. But, you know.
Well, so many things.
And I just pray that I'm happy I know it now. It's never too late.
That's true.
Better late than never.
Yep.
But. Yep. We would have had an understanding of math. This is what some of the feedback I get from my book, Spirituality Before Religions and Chewbacca Stone, is that a lot of brothers and sisters are telling me they never thought about astronomy and cosmology and algebra and geography the way they did. And when I presented it in the book the way I did, in a way that we could understand it, it changed the dynamic of the way they thought. Math and science is not difficult. The problem is that the people who are teaching it don't know what they're talking about.
Don't understand.
So they take what is simple and they make it complex. A good teacher will take something complex.
They don't understand it.
That's right. The best teachers make the complex simple.
Right. But if it's complex, then we don't know that they don't know what they're talking about because we never try to figure it out.
That's right.
That's interesting.
And they turn us off.
Yeah, I didn't really put that together until right now.
And let me tell you one other thing about math and sisters. Women, black women, invented it.
That makes sense, the reason why.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we're dealing with the concept of trying to make it seem like women can't handle math, it's not that women can't handle math. It's that men don't understand it and women understand it. It's not that they don't understand it. They were the ones that created it. They just don't understand the nonsense that men have done with it.
Right.
Because they applied it to their life.
Right.
Math and science came through life. It didn't come through sitting down studying formulas. The formulas came from life. And I just think it's very sad. What disappoints me is how it's being taught. And even when I look at children in grade school, and how they're being introduced to math. Children are looking at it and say, well, why do I need to know this? Just so I can pass the test?
Yeah, so they don't
even realize It answers the questions in life.
Right.
Calculus is calculating how to live your life to its fullest. And it's broken down into formulas, differentials, and all the other concepts in calculus. It's broken. And you see, because I've taken calculus, because of the way my education went, I was like about maybe 6 to 8 credits short of being able to major in math if I had chosen to. I had calculus, and I had that big, thick black book of calculus, modern calculus, by Goodman. And one term we used one book, and the next term we used the other. I got 14 credits that year alone for math because we had to go to school on Saturday. So math carried 7 credits in the college I went to. And because I understand calculus, in a sense, I realized how badly it was taught to me. It was really taught bad because we have no idea why we're studying calculus.
Wow. That's true.
Sad with sisters because you have the answers. And if calculus could be introduced to black women, I mean, I'm talking about European women, too. I'm not going to take away from European women, but I'm talking to our women. African-American women could be introduced to calculus from a feminine perspective, they could save this planet. The answers are there. And I can see them. But I can also see the way they teach it. You ain't never going to see
it. It's horrible. It's really like, and the crazy thing is that even the example you use about the basketball player, like when you play basketball, you are doing the rate times time equals distance. You're doing what they're teaching. And because you don't know it the way that they know it, because they don't know the truth behind it, they make you feel like you're an idiot.
They had that doll that said, "Oh, I hate math." They had the doll actually say that so that little girls could hear a talking doll say, "Oh, I hate math," or "I'm not good at math."
What?
Yeah, I think it was a Barbie doll, or maybe I'm wrong with Barbie, but it was a doll that was a talking doll that you pulled the cord and it would talk. It would say,
"Oh, my God, I missed the beginning of that story. I don't know what happened. I missed the beginning of that story, but that sounds crazy."
That's what they had. And this wasn't that long ago.
What?
This was within your lifetime.
That's crazy.
If you Google it.
Cancel culture would have destroyed that right now. That wouldn't have been able to come out now. People would have lost
not
their damn minds.
Figures. Not with Hidden Figures. Once we understand who we are, it changes. So we'll see.
Well,
I don't know
when
we'll ever get to that.
I was just reading the story about Simone Biles pulling out of the Olympics because of her mental health.
Yep.
Time and time again. Yeah. And she's doing amazing. But it's time and time again. Same thing with Osaka.
Yep, Naomi
and
Osaka.
It's like,
that's right.
Yeah, it's like we really have to. Now is the time to really, because COVID's really done a number on everybody. You know, there's nobody that was not affected by COVID. And now is the time to really bring awareness that, you know, celebrities are now talking about it, or people in, you know, the limelight is talking about it. So now it's time to really, you know, look at it, uplift one another, be there for one another, support one another, and, you know, just try to make a difference in each other's lives so that it becomes a little bit easier to get back to, you know, status quo or even
it's
better.
It's crazy that Simone Biles is gymnastics. She is gymnastics. And she probably has been dreaming about the Olympics since she was a child. And he said she backed out of the Olympics, right?
Yeah.
Imagine you back out of the thing that you were dreaming about your whole life. Because,
and it only happens every 4 years.
And, right, and she's doing it because she is the best at what she does, and the people that suck can't handle it. The people that can't keep up with her can't handle it. And one of the reasons why her mental health, you know, one of the things that adds to it is because of the way that she is treated for being better than them. Like, imagine you are better than somebody, and you get treated a certain way because you're, like, that's just absolutely, like, mind-boggling, disturbing, just horrible. Like, she, like,
yeah.
Nobody can compare to her. When you said that, it made me think of, two people that were, like, the voices of cannabis at the Olympics. And then they were comparing, like, this woman was not able to, you know, she knew that she had went against the rules that they had said, but how can you tell somebody something but then have an entire campaign? It's just like the people that are making money off of marijuana, but there's people in jail for it. Like, yes, okay, they did something that was considered a crime, but the thing that that's considered a crime is not actually a crime, but you say it's a crime, so if certain people can get in trouble, and then when enough of those people get in trouble, that is no longer a crime. Because the actual act is not the crime. It's what you said was the crime is the crime. Which
that
is
sounds
a
like
lot
money.
Of words, but... right.
It's a piece
right.
of paper.
That's exactly what money
but...
is. Right. Right. It's not backed by anything except the United States government saying, hey, this dollar is worth something. That is... It's not backed by gold, silver, platinum. It's not even backed by a rock. It's backed by the government saying that this is worth something. And that is the only thing that is backed by, is the word of the government that we trust so much.
That's crazy.
Oh, man.
But this is the world we live in.
The world we live in. That's what I said.
Get out of my head.
Right. Oh, hello, sir. Could you sit down, please? He wants to join the show. Get out of here.
That's my big boy.
He's trying to play a song. What are you trying
That's
to
right.
play? Who let the dog out? You trying to play Who Let the Dog Out? Get out of here. This is one of the fun things about quarantine, and people are doing all their shows and doing their work, and dogs are in the camera, kids are in the camera. People can't get on a webinar because they didn't do their hair. Oh boy, fun times in the world nowadays. It's fun.
You know, when I think about Simone Biles and sister Naomi Osaka, I think that they are phenomenal examples of what I mean when I say we need counseling.
Yeah.
Because put aside their brilliance in their sport, being black and being great carries a very unique burden that only if you're there do you understand it. The peoples of European descent don't feel that. And, again, I always go back to the eulogy that Kevin Costner gave to Whitney Houston when he spoke about the fact that in conversations with Whitney Houston, he came to the conclusion he believed that she did not believe she was worthy or capable of playing the part that she played in The Bodyguard. Much respect to Dolly Parton for writing the song. It's a beautiful song. Phenomenal. But she
made
is
it.
Not, she, in her performance of it, was nowhere near what Whitney Houston did. Much respect, but she just wasn't there. She just wasn't the voice for that song. Not just that, but Whitney mm-hmm. Houston played that part to a T.
Mm-hmm.
But the yep. fact that she thought she was not worthy, Michael Jackson went through it. Prince went through it. Anybody that gets out there. Say again?
Called imposter syndrome.
How do you spell that? You said
imposter? I-M-P-O-S-T-E-R syndrome.
Oh, imposter. Okay,
imposter syndrome. It is absolutely
what is the
imposter syndrome? It's a dismantling. It's pretty much that you are, that it's pretty much you feel like you have a voice inside of you that's telling you that you're not good enough. Like if you're really good at something, people, you know, you're afraid to actually, you know, showcase your talents because you feel like people will find you out. Like people will find out that you're an imposter and that you're not actually good at it. Even if you're the only person that makes it seem like you're not good enough, the little voice inside of your head that's telling you that you're not good enough will say that you are going to be found out about not being good enough. I'm going to give you the definition online because I know how I explain it. Imposter syndrome refers to an internal experience of believing that you are not as competent as others perceive you to be. Now, it could be because you believe it personally that you're not good enough, but, you know, I feel like black people have it a lot because of the way society makes you feel. So you feel like if you're here, you're here because someone put you there and you're not actually good enough. Like when people talk about, like, people in the industry and they say, oh, you're only here, you know, you're here because of Illuminati, or like Jay-Z and Beyonce aren't famous there not because of their talent, but because the Illuminati put them there. So if they fell into the way that society felt, they would feel like one day the world would realize that everything that they're saying about them is true and they're not as good as they are. Wow. Society will make you believe that if you're black and you're successful, that someone else put you there and that you're not actually good enough. So like Naomi Osaka could say, I'm here because they want to use me as like a token black person, but I'm not actually as good as they think I am. And then one day they're going to find out that I'm not good enough. So even if she knows she's good, but because society makes you believe that you're not good enough, or you've convinced yourself that you're not good enough, even if you're successful, even if you do the things that you are, you still have that fear inside of you that you're not good enough. Even if you're doing what people, even if you're doing what you think that people will think is not good enough, even if you're doing it and you're doing it well, if you have imposter syndrome, you won't believe that you're doing it well. You'll believe that one day people will realize that you're a loser.
Interesting. That's very interesting.
It's crazy. It's really, yeah, it is. Because celebrities have it.
If you're black in America, you have it. The question is by matter of degree. Because I go back with my own experiences. When I was at the academies, at West Point and at the Air Force Academy, there were those that would tell me that the reason why I'm here is because they needed, the quota.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But the only problem is I outperformed them on every level. So they used to get pissed at me because I used to always tell them, the reason why I'm here is because I'm better than you. I'm not here. I'm here because I'm better than you because you did everything you could to deny me access to West Point and to the Air Force Academy. And despite and in spite of all that, I still was able to get there. And the reason why I got there is because I'm better than you. And, you know, there were cadets, there were white cadets that used to call me cadet better than me. That was my name. And I used to tell them, at least you know it. Oh. And they used to get pissed. because they was really trying to just give me a hard time. And I was telling them, I'm better than you. You know, I'm not like you. Ain't nobody give me this because, and there was other things also. But, you know, my thing was from when I was very young, the same that I did with you all, is what was done with me. My parents just told me, there's nobody better than you. And my parents ingrained that in my head. There's nobody better than you. And that's what I felt. There is nobody better. But you see, when you are black and you are not exposed to your culture and who you are, you're always doubting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
A great deal of Michael Jackson's problems was the imposter syndrome. Nobody did what he did. When he came out with Thriller, I think in 1984, that changed the entire game. He was the person that they got. First black person on MTV. They tried to keep black people out of MTV. But when Thriller came out and he did that dance routine and that song came out through Quincy Jones, it changed music. It changed MTV. But deep inside, if that seed of the feeling of incompetence or the imposter syndrome, if that's been allowed to grow in you, that's the Judas.
Mm-hmm.
See, now I got another name. I talk about the Judas and the Messiah that's born within us. And Judas is
that's
the one
it.
That convinces you. Now I've got a title for what it actually is where I can send people to look it up. So thank you for that, Doctor.
Yep.
The imposter syndrome.
No problem.
Syndrome.
That's what I'm here for.
The Judas syndrome. But Judas falls down 9 times, but the Messiah rises 10. It's a reality.
It's also,
we are so great. We are a great people. But we grew up being told we were nothing.
Yep.
It's amazing. So, Conde K, everybody got to reach out to you because black folk need counseling now. We need to talk. Naomi Osaka, and it's funny that it's the sisters. Maybe the brothers are going through it. Well, the brothers are going through it. But, you know, when you got a man up like that, you don't admit that you need counseling.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's
admit it in a minute. I tell people what I did.
Black men are not allowed to be any type of fragile at all. Like, they're not allowed to be...
They're not allowed to have any emotions.
Right. And that's what I had put something... I think I put it on Twitter. And I said that toxic masculinity only exists when you don't allow yourself to have the feminine entity in you. It's not about being girly, and it's not about being feminine. It's about understanding that both exist. Because if you stifle one because you don't want people to look at you a certain way... All that can exist is masculinity. So it's not toxic. It's only toxic because there's no balance. Once there's a balance between the masculine and the feminine energy inside of you, which has nothing to do with being a man and a woman, that's when the toxicness goes away. But we live in a society where men are not allowed to show any type of emotion or you'll be considered a woman. You're not there's nothing that... there's nothing that black men are allowed to do except be tough and not cry and act a certain way. And that's not what black men are. And what's unfortunate, and I wrote an article about this, black people were created for slavery. Black people didn't exist before slavery. The concept of black people, the way that we are now as a society was created for slavery. It wasn't created to better society. It was created to be separate. Even the concept of black and white when, you know, I think you've told the story, Daddy, before, like in the 1600s when the word black was created, it wasn't created to introduce a new culture into society. It was created so that the foreign women that were coming off the boats were not allowed to go and engage in certain activities with the melanated individuals. It wasn't green. It was always black people. We don't even know what black people are because we've always been created
as outcasts. We've never been created as a positive culture. Even the culture that we consider to be our culture is a lot of times a negative culture. So we have no clue what it means to be black women, black men, because society has always told us what it is to be black and to be a male and female. Society has told us what it is. We have no clue what it is to be, because historically they weren't black people. The way black Americans are now didn't exist before slavery. And it's like we just don't know who we are because we exist for all the wrong reasons.
Interesting.
You know, it's just unfortunate because it shouldn't be that way.
But your generation must turn this around now.
Yeah.
Your generation has to turn this around. And again, I go back to counseling. We need counseling. And we have to understand what counseling is first.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, I was just very blessed to be introduced to people that really cared about my well-being when I got out of the military. And I was able to use the VA benefits in order to get the type of support that I needed to talk,
mm-hmm.
not just as it related to my military experience, but just as a young black man in America.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to talk. We need to find somebody we can trust and that we can talk to.
Yep.
And once we're able to do that, then we can sort out some of the things that are challenging us, because there are some things, and Kandike, I know you know about this, there are some things that we do, we don't know why we're doing it, but we do it anyway because it's subliminal, it is subconscious in our mind.
Mm-hmm.
But once it's brought to the conscious, once you know it, you know, like say, when you know better, you do better.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We need to talk. I've often said that black men need to go into a room. Ladies, you're not allowed. This has to be only brothers. And brothers need to have one big cry. And I'm talking about that ugly in the face cry. That's why sisters can't be there, because it has to be the kind of cry that your face is all contorted because you're in pain and you're trying to get rid of it. Black men need to have a big cry. And those men need to know, I'm a man, but I also have a mother. And therefore,
mm-hmm.
that's what you're talking about, Sasha.
I have
a mother, so therefore I'm half woman. But my daddy's chromosome decided that I would be a man. But I still have feelings. And feelings do not make me a gender. Feelings make me a human being that hurts when I'm hurt, that laughs when it's funny. We have feelings. You see, the European male don't have feelings. So therefore, he tries to set up a system that if you're a man, you don't have feeling. But that's what happened on January 6th, a bunch of crazy,
mm-hmm.
stuck and stupid people that don't have a conscious or feeling decided that they were going to cause a problem. We have feelings. And as black men, we have to be comfortable to cry if we hurt. When we come home from work and your supervisor done said everything negative to you,
mm-hmm.
instead of coming home and taking it out on your family, what you need to do is find a way to get that out of your system by any means necessary. But this is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm thinking as we go through these emotional times. These are some very interesting times. But your generation has a chance to change things. And it's going to happen through y'all. I have a lot of faith
That's
in
That's right.
You.
I think so.
I have a lot of faith in you.
I believe
No matter
you.
What I see happening, I have faith in you. Because I know you're going to make it right.
I believe it.
Well, on that note,
I believe it, and I have a part two of the song from earlier. I have a part two. So Hopefully nothing too dramatic happens in the next 2 weeks, and we will see everyone in 2 weeks and have something else to add to the conversation.
Okay. Well, that sounds good, family. Enjoyed hanging out with y'all. To all those who have tuned in, much love and respect
Thank
to y'all.
You.
I look forward to
yes.
the future. Stay strong. It ain't over till we win.
Hotep.
Yeah.
That's right.
There we go. Hotep.
Hotep family.
Whoa. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Whoa, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be. Oil wasted on the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy me. Our things ain't what they used to be. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby by our sides. Oh, mercy, mercy, mercy. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from men? Can't you stand? Ooh.